Goff is a blind filmmaker. Welcome to the show, Goff.
G'day, Peter. How are you?
What a great name.
Thank you very much.
Now, you were born in 1981. Is Goff your given name, or did you adopt it?
No, it was given to me by a bunch of lads at Griffith University in Brisbane. So I was a bit of a mischievous young fella in my younger days.
Yes.
And a big fan of the band The Whitlams.
Ah.
And obviously they're named after Gough Whitlam.
Yes.
And I would play their records with annoying regularity. And so hence the nickname, and it just stuck. And I just decided, well, you know, I may as well keep it.
You founded a company called Beer Nut Productions.
That's right, Beer Nut Productions, that's correct.
With books, with movies. You've worked as a stand-up comedian. You've worked in radio all around the world as a stand-up comedian, for heaven's sake.
That's right, yes.
Now, how much vision do you have, Goff?
I can't see it all out of my right eye and have very limited vision out of my left. So I am legally blind, technically.
Mm-hmm.
Without my glasses, I can't read print. So that's pretty much the easiest way to describe it to people.
And how did this happen? How long have you had this condition?
Well, pretty much all my life.
Mm-hmm.
When I had the whooping cough immunisation, so
mm-hmm.
I think you're about 12 weeks old when you have your
yes.
whooping cough jab, and I had what's called a hemorrhagic stroke, which is a cross between a brain hemorrhage and a stroke. So apparently it was a bit touch and go whether I'd make it or not, and I did, and had a few health problems, and the eyesight obviously being the one that has lasted with me.
Why are you a filmmaker with limited vision? You know, there are some filmmakers, and you would have heard this before, Goff, who you might think are blind, but they're generally not. Why make movies?
Well, I've always loved the entertainment industry, as you said before. You know, I've done stand-up, I worked in radio doing audio production and all that sort of stuff, and I just love entertaining people and making people, you know, laugh and smile. And I think probably a lot like yourself, Peter, you know, people sit back and kick back and listen to your show and they forget about their problems. And
yes.
it's a wonderful feeling to be able to do that for people, you know. And I've always loved storytelling and writing, and that's always been a big part of my life. So I thought, why not? I've always loved film, and so... Yeah, that's always what I've really wanted to do, so why not?
It's collaborative filmmaking too, isn't it?
Well, it can be indeed. Yes, it can be. It depends how big your budget is to how collaborative it can be.
I see. But, I mean, anything's more collaborative than stand-up comedy, Goff.
Well, that's true, yes.
Mm. What does stand-up comedy teach you?
It taught me a lot, actually. It's a very interesting question. I've never been asked that before, but it did teach me a lot. It taught me a lot about timing. It taught me a lot about how to read people, you know, in the crowd in front of you. Because, I mean, if you do a gag and it dies, you need to quickly figure out why it died, and you need to understand the audience in front of you. And obviously, when you can't see, you need to use your ears a lot more. And so... I think that helped me in a way because, you know, I can sort of read people a lot better because I listen to what they're
yes.
telling me and all that
yes.
sort of stuff. But your stand-up comedy taught me a lot about writing, you know, how to improve my writing was bred out of that a lot. And, it was really great training, I found, you know.
Mm.
I really did enjoy getting on stage and... making people laugh. But like I said earlier, you know, it's a really wonderful thing to do.
You grew up on the Gold Coast. I love the Gold Coast. I love surfers. What's it like to grow up there, Goff?
Well, at the moment, we've got an almighty thunderstorm rolling through at the moment.
Mm.
So it could be quite tropical weather-wise, let me
sure.
tell you. But the Gold Coast, well, I guess it's... a lot like anywhere. I mean, a place is what you make of it, isn't it, really?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm not too sure how to describe the Gold Coast. I mean, it's great for holiday makers, no doubt about that. You know, everybody seems to have a great time when they're up here, but I suppose it would be like any sort of beachside suburb of Adelaide. I've never actually been to Adelaide, sadly enough.
Well, you must come.
I must indeed. I would love to come over there. I reckon fun times could be had, no doubt about it. So it is a place I would love to visit, absolutely. But the Gold Coast, it's a unique place because there's all manner of people up in the Gold Coast. You can find whatever you want to look for, you've got it on the Gold
Coast.
And
there's one of everyone and one of everything.
That's exactly right, yes indeed.
At least. and it's the graveyard of vaudeville. If you're looking for older performers, you won't have to look too far, Gough. For your movies. Now, tell us about I Will Not Go Quietly, which is the first. It's a film written, produced, edited, directed, and starring yourself, and it's the first film by a legally blind person, essentially.
That's correct. Yes, indeed. It's a 90-minute full-length documentary that I made, and it was basically brought about by my own frustrations, really. A lot of people not really understanding disability and mental health and what you can do, what you can't do, all that sort of stuff. And so I thought the best way to explain to people is to make a documentary that's got a lot of humour through it, so it's not all doom and gloom and depressing to watch. But I do interview a lot of different people, a neurosurgeon, psychologists, teachers, school teachers, even somebody in the dating industry I interviewed, because obviously when you have a disability, dating can be quite problematic and troublesome. So, it sort of covers a whole range of issues. And if people want to check it out, it's absolutely free to view on the Beer Nuts Productions website, which is beernutsproductions.com.
And so you can see I Will Not Go Quietly. And you won't go quietly, will you?
Well, no. I think it would be foolish to go quietly, to be honest, Peter. I think everybody, no matter who they are, should, jump up and down and cause a bit of a ruckus. I mean, that's what makes life fun, isn't it?
But disability access, disability visibility, accessibility... We've come a long way, haven't we, Gough? But there's a long way to go.
Oh, no doubt. Absolutely no doubt at all, Peter. I mean, if you go overseas, the US, Europe, they're miles ahead of Australia. And I think it's down to two main things. I think, number one, it's a population thing. I mean, there's a lot less people with a disability in Australia because the population is a lot less than other countries.
Yep.
And also, it's an education thing. I mean, people don't understand disability and mental health and that kind of stuff. So, I mean, if I always use the analogy. I remember at school, I would always, because obviously not being able to see, reading really wasn't an option for me. Mm. And so I'm a terrible speller as a result because people learn how to spell through reading.
Yep.
And so I would always ask my teacher, how do you spell this word? How do you spell that word? And she'd say to me, look it up in the dictionary. I said, well, how can I look it up in the dictionary if I don't know how it's spelled? Mm. I mean, you need to teach people, you need to, educate people. Otherwise, how else will they know these things, I mean, you can't get mad at people for discriminating against you or for being ignorant if they weren't aware that they were discriminating or being ignorant. So I think education has a huge part to play in the community as well.
And I think it's time for people with disabilities to not go so quietly. There's a theatre, I'm embarrassed to say, in Adelaide here, Gough, which has the access for people with disabilities from the side, but once you're in that theatre, it's impossible to use a toilet. So, you have to sit there all night, and I think that's a disgrace.
Well, I would assume that would be against some kind of building code and regulation because, it's against the law not to have disability access. I know a great quote by Stella Young, who passed away recently. Somebody asked her, about disability and that sort of stuff, and she said, well, good intentions are great, but good intentions aren't going to turn that staircase into a ramp.
Yes.
You need to actually get out there and do it. And, well, for example, the gym that I attend every day, I mean, that if you're in a wheelchair, you've got, again, same situation. There's no disability showers in the locker room or disability toilets either. So, I mean, if you're in a wheelchair, you're in an awful lot of trouble if you want to exercise at my gym. I mean, that's I think it's pretty disgraceful sort of behaviour, and I'm pretty sure that it is against, you know, if the building code people were to find out, I think a couple of fines might be dished out. So, yeah.
You've made a lot of comedies. And, for example, I love this, My Elastica Snapped, a love triangle involving three beautiful young ladies.
Peter, who knows more about a lesbian love triangle than a straight blind male? I mean, it just makes perfect sense for me to write that story, don't you think?
Oh dear. What's funny to you, Gough, with your disability? You must be able to laugh at it, and it must give you a license.
Well, that's very true. I find sex is a very humorous subject, disability or not. I find just the way people laugh about it and act about it. You know, I think that's a very, very humorous, very humorous subject. Just people in general. I mean, people say and do ridiculous things without even knowing it sometimes,
sure.
You know? So I think what people need to do is open their ears. I mean, again, when I was very young, guide dogs, did O&M, orientation and mobility training with me, and they taught me things like crossing streets safely and stuff like that. Obviously, not being able to see, that's a very important skill for somebody like me. And the first thing they teach you is to use your ears, you know?
Yes.
And I think people need to do that generally, because I think if people paid a bit more attention to what people were saying around them, I think they would laugh a lot more, I reckon.
Mm. Do people stare at you, Gough?
Well, yeah, we'll see. Yes, when obviously people don't know me, and I'm reading my watch, for example, or reading a text message on my phone, like my nose is to the screen, so
yeah.
I get a lot of people, and again, it's down to education. I get a lot of people not understanding and making stupid comments or snide comments.
Yes.
And, you know, you just got to let that sort of stuff roll off you, but. There's no doubt that, there's some strange folk out there with some strange opinions, no doubt about that.
And often people think you're stupid as well, that you lack intelligence.
Absolutely,
yes.
Absolutely. People don't seem to understand, you know, all it is my eyes don't work so good. Well, it's actually, I suppose, as I explained earlier, it's a brain injury, so the eyes are fine. It's the part of the brain that controls the eyes that's not working. Everything else works absolutely fine. You know, I'm quite capable of, working and doing, you know, being up productions, my company. I'm quite capable of starting up my own business and making a success out of that. I'm quite capable of doing all of those things that everybody else would like to, you know.
It's Beer Nuts. Give us the web address, please, Gough.
Sure, beernutsproductions.com. It's very, very simple. So, yeah, just beernutsproductions.com.
You're a breath of fresh air, kiddo. I've very much enjoyed speaking with you. I think we'll hear more from you. I wish you well. Thank you, Gough. Go well, kiddo.
Thank you, Peter. Appreciate your time.
Not at all. What a good guy.